Since 1925, the church has celebrated the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the universal King. And so as this year, this liturgical year draws to a close with Advent starting next Sunday, we celebrate Jesus Christ as our great high priest, as the universal King, the one who rules, but we want to remember the one who rules from the cross. It also marks today, November 24th, also marks the end to the year of faith, which we've been speaking about for the past 15 months. Called by Pope Benedict XVI, it started back in October 11th in 2012 and has gone throughout the entire year and this extra month, and it concludes today. And so we want to really think, as this year of faith draws to a close, what is the status of our faith? For certainly it is the faith of Pope Benedict, which, and his duty, his ministry to serve that faith, which called him and caused him to call for this year of faith, for us to rediscover the depths and the infinite beauty of our divine Catholic faith, to embrace that faith and to learn it more perfectly, so that we can share it more enthusiastically. We know that the very first service of the successor of St. Peter is that of faith. In the New Testament, we see that it is St. Peter who becomes the rock on which the church is built. And therefore, the we of the church begins with the name of the one who first professed faith in Christ Jesus. It begins with his faith. It was a faith that was at first immature. Perhaps we would even deem it to be a too human faith. But then we know after Easter, it became a mature and capable faith, capable of following Christ to giving of himself on the cross, mature in believing that Jesus is truly the King, and that he came and ruled as King precisely so that he could stay on the cross, loving us until the very end, giving his life for sinners. As we read in the Gospel and we hear proclaimed, we see that it was all the bystanders around Jesus who were precisely telling him not to rule from the cross, but to come down from the cross. They mocked him, but it was also perhaps could be understood as, in a sense, them trying to excuse themselves. We could see their statements as saying, it isn't our fault that you are on the cross. It's only your fault. Because if you were truly the Son of God, the King of the Jews, you wouldn't be there. You would save yourself by coming down. And hence, if you stay there, it means that you are mistaken and we are right. Seems that this could be seen not merely as the temptation faced by those who stood at the foot of the cross then, but also as the temptation each and every one of us faces. This is the drama that unfolds at the foot of the cross of Jesus, not just once, but each and every day. All of us, all men and women, are standing before God, who dies on the cross for us, who reveals to us precisely what he is in his very essence. Love. In Jesus crucified, his divinity is disfigured, stripped of all visible glory, but it is still present and real, and it is only faith that allows us to see that. We see that faith in the Blessed Mother, Our Lady Mary, who united herself to her Son even at that last moment, taking this final tile in the mosaic of his life and accepting it, and again repeating to her Son with abandonment her words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord." We also see a response of faith in the other criminal, the good thief. It's a barely sketched faith, not the beautiful faith of the Blessed Mother, but nevertheless, it's a faith that is enough to assure him of salvation. Jesus responds to his faith, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And it's so decisive that he says, "With me, because that is what saves Saint Dismas. Of course, we see that the thief remains on the cross like Jesus. But what becomes very important is that we see that he is also on the cross with Jesus, as opposed to the other evildoer from who mocks Christ, like the soldiers, like the other elders. St. Dismas does not ask Jesus to come down from the cross or to let him come down. Rather, he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He sees Christ on the cross, disfigured, unrecognizable, and yet he entrusts himself to him as his king, as the king, whose power is not stopped by the cross. The good thief believes what is written on that plaque. Surely this is the king. And so, believing it, he entrusts himself to Christ. And that is why he is already the recipient of the today of God in paradise. Because that is precisely what paradise is. As the Catechism teaches us, it is to be with Jesus, to be with God. And so we see the fundamental message of the Word of God this morning. What it's telling you and me is that we are first and foremost called to be with Jesus. We are called to be with Jesus like Mary, to stand with him at the foot of the cross, not begging him to come down, not asking him to save himself, but for us to stay there with him, to entrust ourselves to him. This then becomes the vocation of every Christian. And we must do this not only for ourselves, but for the whole church, for the whole people. We know from the Gospels that it is the moment of the cross that is that critical point in the discipleship of St. Peter and all the apostles. It was clear that it could not be otherwise because they were men and they thought like men with the human logic. And they could not tolerate the idea of a crucified Messiah. But we see that St. Peter's conversion was realized fully when he gave up trying to save Jesus and accepted being saved by Jesus. He gave up wanting to save Jesus from the cross. At the moment of his confession of faith, he said, "Lord, forbid that you should go to the cross." And in the garden, he pulls his sword to stop the crucifixion. But finally, he gives up trying to save Jesus from the cross, and he accepts being saved by his cross. Our Lord had prayed for him. "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned, you may strengthen your brethren." And so we see St. Peter's ministry and all of his successors' ministry consists altogether in his faith, a faith that Jesus recognized immediately from the beginning as genuine, a gift of faith from the Heavenly Father, but a faith that must go through the scandal of the cross, that to become a fully authentic, a truly Christian faith, to become a rock on which Christ could build his church. Participation in our Lord's kingdom, in his lordship, is verified concretely only in sharing in his abasement, only in sharing with his crucifixion. And so Pope Benedict XVI, the successor to St. Peter, continues that ministry to faith, continues to remind them the faith, as he called for this year of faith, that our vocation to holiness consists in our living the Catholic faith, faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus can build his church on us the more he finds in us that true paschal faith, the faith that does not want to make Jesus come down from the cross, but rather entrust itself to him on the cross. It is in this connection that the authentic place, then, of every Christian is on the cross, to persist in suffering and obedience to Christ. This is difficult. This is not the way that men think. This is not part of our human logic that always governs our world and can threaten to govern us. But this is and remains always our first service, the service of faith. The service of faith which can transform our life. To believe that Jesus is God. To believe that He is the King. Precisely because He went to that point. Precisely because He gave Himself totally. Forcing ourselves to adopt His logic. The logic of humility. The logic of service. The logic that says a grain of wheat must die if it is to bear great fruit. And so all Christians are called to be profoundly united in this service of faith. And we can be very concretely, very intimately united precisely because it is a gift of faith. It's not merely something that we all agree on. It's not merely an idea or a strategy that unites us. But it is the love of Christ. It is the very Holy Spirit, the third person of the most blessed Trinity, who draws us into that one body, the mystical body of Christ, the church. The efficacy of our service to the church, the bride of Christ, depends essentially on this, our fidelity to divine royalty, crucified on the cross out of love. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we want to see that this is the essence of the Christian message. This is what St. Paul was speaking about in that second reading, as he proclaims then and always that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and of all those who will rise from the dead. And as St. Paul says, that in Him everything consists, holds its being, and that He is preeminent before all. It is to this end, then, that Bishop Laverty has written to all of us a pastoral letter at the end of this year of faith as we go forward. Maybe you've already received it in your mail, or it was in the Herald, and we received it in the office on Friday, a letter entitled, "Go Forth with Hearts on Fire." I encourage you, read the letter that your bishop has written to you. He who is the successor to the apostles, called to minister to us, has sent us this letter because he too is in service to the faith, a faith that cannot merely ask Jesus to save yourself, but demands to be spread. And so we want to see that that will be the source of our joy in allowing our faith in Christ Jesus, which we have rediscovered and hopefully clung to ever more deeply during this year of faith, to cause in us a transformation so that we too will be apostles of Christ. So that we too can, as St. Paul said, be sharers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Because our joy is being transferred from the kingdom of this world to belong to the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. That kingdom which the thief was promised to be given that very day. We see then that the cross is present in the midst of the trials, the joys of our life. And it becomes our decision of whether we will be on the cross like the other thief, begging to come off, or if we will be on the cross with Jesus, living with Jesus, who is already in our midst, whom our eyes can see only with faith, as the fulfillment of all of our desires, as the consummation of all delights, as the one who came to free us from sin so that we might rule with Him, crucified but risen in the kingdom of His love and glory.